during the last, I don't know, number of years. When I was in Eretz Yisrael and Yeshiva about 20 years ago, I never, even though guys used to go to Meron, and I guess it was already a big deal, but, you know, it was Bittul Torah. It was considered to be Bittul Torah to go, to leave the Beis Medrash to go to Meron on Lag BaOmer. But, you know, we hear from, in a normal year, we have people traveling from America to go to Eretz Yisrael just for Lag BaOmer. And it's an incredible sight, and there are thousands, tens of thousands of Jews who are there. When I went this past summer with my daughter Rivki, we went to Meron, and we went into the kever, you know, to the kever area of Rav Shem Bar Yochai, and I think his son is there. And it was very moving. It was a very, very moving experience. They have a men's section, a women's section. But I would say probably there were 100 people there, all told, you know, on the whole mountain. There's a village there on the mountaintop. And it was a beautiful experience even just this summer. But imagine being there with tens of thousands of people to visit Rav Shem Bar Yochai's kever, to see where he's buried, and to daven there on his yard site. Okay, so the significance of Rav Shem Bar Yochai cannot really be understated if you think about it. Why do I say that? Why do I say that the significance of Rav Shem Bar Yochai cannot be understated? Because if you think about who Rav Shem Bar Yochai was and what he accomplished during his life, I think that you'll start to appreciate a little bit about, you know, who he was, and you'll see why I say that his significance cannot be understated. Obviously, Rav Shem Bar Yochai is famous for being the person who wrote the Zohar, and he taught his teachings to his students on the last day of his life. My daughter Rivki told me that there's a legend, I don't know what the source for it is, that the last day of his life, his the sun shone for longer, kind of like Yehoshua when he was fighting in Dome, Givon Dome, and in order to allow him that last day of his life to be extended so he can continue to teach his Talmidim, his students. And it was that day that he revealed the Zohar to the world. The Zohar is famous. We're not going to talk about the Zohar tonight, but the Zohar is famous, not more than what I'm about to say, for Kabbalah. But the reality is the Zohar has Agada, it has history, it has Musar, it has all kinds of things in there that people are not necessarily aware of. And of course, it has Kabbalah as well. Usually, if I were to quote the Zohar, I'm not quoting from the Kabbalistic elements of the Zohar, but rather I'm quoting from, the ideas related to life lessons that we can learn from the Zohar. So tonight's shiur, like I said, is going to be about Lag BaOmer, and it's not about emotional health or mental health. Next week, Tuesday night, God willing, we're going to have a shiur about managing stress, being the best person you can possibly be, regardless of what's going on, and that's going to be next week on Tuesday night. Okay, so we're beginning with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara teaches us, it's Shabbat, page 138. The Gemara brings a Braita, and the Braita is a similar teaching to a Mishnah. It comes from the same period of time as the Tanoim, as the authors of the Mishnah. And the Braita, which is not codified in the same way the Mishnah is, still is considered to be a legitimate source, and the Gemara teaches us as follows. Kishnichnasu Rabboteinu leKeren BeYavne. When the rabbis went into Keren BeYavne. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I did do a quick search, there's four or five places throughout Shas that we have a Braita where it uses language like this. When did the rabbis go into Yavne? It was after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked Vespasian, I believe it was, asked him for a number of requests. And one of the requests that he made was for Yavne v'chachameha. So that was at one point where Yavne became a yeshiva. Later on in history, a couple generations later, Yavne once again became the center of Jewry. And when they went into Yavne, they had certain discussions that are recorded in the Talmud. For those of you learning Daf Yomi, we had a Gemara in Brachos not too long ago that talked about what happened when they went to Yavne at the end of Brachos. Okay, so what happened when they went to Yavne? Amru, the rabbis there said, Atidat Torah shetishtakach miYisrael. In the future, the Torah is going to be forgotten from Yisrael. And he quotes the pasuk in Navi, Shenemar hinei yamim ba'im nu Hashem Elokim. Behold, days are coming, says God. Hishlachti rav ba'aretz. I'm going to send a hunger in the land. Lo rav la'lechem lo tzam alamoyim. It won't be hunger for bread or a thirst for water. Rather, what is it going to be? It's going to be a thirst and a hunger to hear the words of Hashem. That is, that people will want to access Torah, but they won't have access to it. This part of the pasuk is less famous. They're going to go, they'll travel from one place to another, from sea to shining sea, to look for somebody to teach them Torah. They'll wander one place to another, to seek out the word of God. But they will not find anyone to teach them. So this was the very pessimistic view of the rabbis in Yavne. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai came along, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, and he said, Chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom, God forbid, shetishtakach Torah mi'Yisrael, the Torah should be forgotten from Yisrael. And he quoted a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Ki lo sishakach mi'pizaro, that the Torah will not be forgotten from the children of Israel. That's a pasuk, a verse in Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 31. Elamani mikayi mishtotetu v'lo yimtza. What does it mean that they're going to look for Torah and they won't have access to it? Sh'lo yimtza alachabrura mishnabrura makom echad, which means that some people will have the understanding of how to learn, but they won't know what to do practically. Other people will know what to do practically, but they won't have the background, the understanding of how to develop and how to apply halacha to new situations, etc. So there's going to be a dearth, a lack of Torah, but it doesn't mean there won't be any Torah at all. So the fascinating teaching from Rav Nachman of Breslov, quoted in another Hasidic sefer called Teferet Shlomo, and the teaching is as follows. I find it very fascinating. Rav Nachman Breslov says as follows. What did Rav Shimon ben Yochai promise? He promised that Torah will not be forgotten from Yisrael. And what was the pasuk that he quoted? He says, Ki lo sishakach Torah mi'Yisrael. That was the pasuk that he quoted. Torah will not be forgotten from Yisrael. And in the Zohar itself, it says, B'hai chibura di'iyu sefer HaZohar yifkon ba min gilusa. Through this chibur, through this writing, through this book of the Zohar, they're going to come out from Gullus, meaning that the Zohar is going to be the saving grace of the Jewish people, which is actually fascinating. Because if you look at Jewish history, over the last 500 years, the Zohar has become more and more prominent. I would say that the entire Sephardic world and the entire Hasidic world, it gets much of its strength and its teachings that are rooted in Zohar, which is fascinating. And then it became much more popular during what's called the Chevli HaMashiach, during the end of history, during the end of the 6,000 years, is when it becomes even more popular. So let's listen to this. Listen to this idea. What pasuk does Rav Shimon ben Yochai quote? Ki lo sishakach mipizaro. The Torah will not be forgotten from his children. If you take a look at that, those letters, ki lo sishakach mipizaro. The letter, are we familiar with Rashi Tevos? Rashi Tevos is when you have a Hebrew sentence that you put into an acronym, where the first letter from each word, and you join those letters together, and it becomes a mnemonic, it becomes an acronym to remember the pasuk. I think Holmes is a famous English one, right? To remember the five great lakes, Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, and Superior. Right? I remember something from fourth grade. So that's an English acronym. It's a kind of a mnemonic to remember. So in Hebrew also, we use Rashi Tevos all the time, sometimes to save on printing. I remember my grandfather commenting on one of my uncle's Svarim when he published a Sefer, a book. And he says, I don't understand why he's so cheap. Why are there so many acronyms? Why are there so many Rashi Tevos? Why do you just spell everything out? Obviously, it's because it's much quicker to write when you write things in acronyms than it is to spell things out. But in Remes, which is one of the ways of looking at Torah, which we talked a little bit about on Monday night, which was last night, in Remes, when it comes to the hints of the Torah, so one of the ways of looking at the deep meaning of the Torah is not only to look at Rashi Tevos, at the beginning of the beginning letters of each word, but to look at what's called Sofei Tevos, which is the end letter of each word. So if you take the Sofei Tevos, if you take the Sofei, the end of each word of Kilosi Shakach Mipizaro, you have a Yud, an Aleph, a Chet, a Yud, and a Vav. If you redistribute those letters, it's what's that called in the in the calendar section in LA Times, the funnies, the comics. So there's a word jumble. Yeah. Take a word jumble. So if you take a yud, an aleph, a ches, a yud, and a vav, and you can reorganize it so it actually says Yochai. Yochai, as in Rabbi Shimon's father. The letters, the sofei tevos, the end of each word spells out, Hilosi shechach mi pizarro, are the letters Yochai. So, mi pizarro, from Yochai's chaffed son. What did Shimon ben Yochai say? Don't worry, the Torah will not be forgotten. And who's going to see to it? The Zerah, the child of Yochai. And where is Yochai hinted at in the Torah? On that pasuk that says the Torah will not be forgotten. Hilo tishakach mi pizarro, the Torah will never be forgotten. Through whom? Through Shimon ben Yochai himself. Now the Gemara, so that's one Gemara that we have about Shimon ben Yochai, where you see that he's very optimistic. You see that he is not giving up hope like the other Chachamim were. He's not feeling hopeless. He's feeling very hopeful. So that's one Talmudic teaching that is very important. We have another Gemara. This is also a very well-known Gemara. The end of it especially. We're familiar with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's students who passed away during this period of time between Pesach and Lag BaOmer, and they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, on the 33rd day of the Omer. And therefore, we, of course, observe a period of mourning. And those of us who normally shave or trim our beards didn't do so for this period of time, don't listen to music, and of course are able to this morning. Reb Shimon ben Yochai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Not everybody knows that. Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students who died, and then he rebuilt the Jewish people. You imagine being the Rosh Hashiva, imagine being the Rebbe. You have a shul, got 24,000 people. You're the chief rabbi of Los Angeles. You have 24,000 people. God forbid they all die. I don't know about you, most people would go into hiding. Most people would run away. Most people would just give up. What did Rabbi Akiva do? He found 5 more students in a different part of Israel, and he became their Rebbe, and he made sure that the Mesorah, the tradition of Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, the understanding of Judaism, would continue to be taught from generation to generation. Rabbi Akiva was very hopeful as well. So Rabbi Akiva, not only did he do so, not only was he hopeful, but he did so at great risk to himself. He lived during the time of the Romans, who had destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, the second temple. He himself was probably around the age of 18 or 20 at the time of the destruction. And Rabbi Akiva, he defied the edicts and the decrees of the Romans, and he taught Torah in public. And what happened as a result, we all know the horrible story that we read about on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim. He was caught by the Romans, and ultimately he was killed. Ultimately he was murdered in a very, very horrible fashion. So Rabbi Akiva, when he was in jail, says the Gemara like this. When Rabbi Akiva was in jail, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai went to visit him. Amar lo, says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai to Rabbi Akiva. Lamdeni Torah. Rebbe, he says, teach me Torah. Amar, he said, I'm not going to teach you. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, I can't teach you Torah. I'm in jail now, it's not a good time. Amar lo, listen to this response. And there should be alarm bells ringing in your mind when you hear this response from Shimon ben Yochai to his Rebbe, to Rabbi Akiva. It may not tell me Lamdeni if you don't teach me. Ani omer li Yochai Abba, umasrucha lemachos. If you don't teach me Torah, I'm going to tell my father on you. You know that expression? I'm going to tell my father on you. I'm going to tell Yochai, my father. Umasrucha lemachos. And we're going to be moser you. We're going to give you over to the king. We're going to report you to the government. Amar lo, so he says to him, B'ni, my son. He says Rabbi Akiva to Shimon Yochai, my child. Yoter masha egel rotza linek, para rotza lahanik. More than the calf wants to eat, the mother, the cow, wants to nurse. We're all familiar with that expression. More than a student wants, it's a metaphor for Limud HaTorah. More than you want to learn Torah, I want to teach Torah. I think anyone who's ever taught any Torah and has taught in the classroom can relate to that. The Rebbe wants to teach much more than the children want to learn, as a general rule. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Shimon Yochai, I'm dying to teach you Torah. I put myself at risk to teach you Torah, but right now is not the right time. We're familiar with the story. If you read the story on a simple level, very hard to understand. Shimon Yochai is going to tell his father to report him. Let's analyze this, you know, as a Talmudic teaching, even though it's an Agada. Let's analyze it and come up with a number of questions. He's threatening Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe. Is that how Chachamim talk to each other? Is that how a student talks to a Rebbe? threatening him with going to the non-Jews, especially? Number one. Number two, why should Rabbi Akiva be afraid of the Romans? Number one, we know that he wasn't afraid of the Romans. The Gemara teaches us in the Brachos that he continued to teach after they told him not to. He wasn't afraid of them. And number two, this is question two, part B, he's already in jail. So what could happen to him already? Question number three. Rabbi Shimon is involving his father Yochai. If you do a search for Yochai as a standalone, not Shimon ben Yochai, but Yochai as a standalone, as a person. I did some research into this. Yochai was a Tana. He was a rabbi himself, and he was a beloved friend to other people who we know about from that time of the Mishnah. But he's never quoted anywhere in any Mishnah or Braita. He doesn't give us any teachings that are part of the Masorah. This is the only time that he appears alone. Why is Rabbi Shimon making reference to his father at this point in time? So listen to this beautiful idea that I came across in order to explain this Gemara. Beautiful idea. What was the pasuk that we started with? What was the pasuk that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai quoted in chapter 31, verse 21 of Devarim? Listen to this pasuk and think about the times in which we find ourselves right now. I'll read it in Hebrew and translate it into English. V'haya will be, ki timtze'ena oto ra'ot rabot. When you find yourself in a situation where life is difficult, this tremendous evil abounds in the world. Bitzaros, and there's difficulty, real difficulty. And you sing the song in front of Hashem. There's a question whether that means Parshas Hazinu, which is called the Shira, which is one of the last parshiot in the fifth book of the Torah, or whether it's a reference to the entire Torah. That's going to be the testimony. In other words, when life is difficult, instead of running away from Hashem, you run towards Hashem. That's going to be the testimony. That's going to be the identifier of who you are. Ki lo tishakach mi pizaro. You will not be forgotten. The Torah will not be forgotten from his children, from the children of God. Hashem says, Ki yadati as yitzer, I know the way of man. Who also hayom, that which he does today, b'ter ma'viyeno la'orat asher nishbati, that which he's going to do before I bring him to Eretz Yisrael, before Mashiach comes. Moshe Rabbeinu is disturbed. He's shown a prophecy. He's given nevuah where Hashem says to him, things are going to be difficult in future generations. And Moshe starts to get nervous. Hashem says, don't worry. The Jewish people will always be loyal to me. And they'll always have this Torah. The Torah will not be forgotten. If you think about it, you know, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden says one of the greatest miracles of history is the fact that the Jewish people are still here. You know, it's kind of like Mark Twain. It's like the greatest proof to God is the fact that the Jewish people are still here. That's not Mark Twain's version. That's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's version. Now, think about it like this. The greatest proof to our relationship to Hashem and to Torah is the fact that we still have Torah after all the tzaros, and that's what the pasuk is saying. So what does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai teach? What does Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai tell his colleagues? Chas v'shalom shetishtachach Torah mi-Yisrael. God forbid the Torah should be forgotten from Yisrael. And what pasuk does he quote? Ki lo tishachach mi-pizaro. The Torah will not be forgotten. Let's take a step back. Rabbi Akiva, as I mentioned before, had 24,000 students who died. And as I mentioned, it's a mourning period until today. But why is it that we mourn these students? There have been tragedies throughout Klal Yisrael's history. 24,000 compared to 6 million. We don't have a period of mourning of 33 days for the 6 million. Why the 24,000 students? Why is their death so significant? Because what do they represent? They represent the Masorah. They represent the tradition and the teachings of Torah being handed down from Hashem to Moshe and so on and so forth. Their death symbolizes, in a sense, the end of Torah, God forbid. The Romans were out to destroy not just the Jewish people, but to destroy the Torah. And that's why they made that decree. And all the Jewish leaders of their time, they put to death, famously as the Asar HaRugim Malchus, as the ten martyrs of the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva doesn't give up hope. He gathers all of his students together. And who was his primary student? Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. He's not afraid of the Roman decrees. He teaches in public. But what happens? Rabbi Akiva gets caught. And the future of Jewry and the future of Torah is at risk of being destroyed because Rabbi Akiva is caught. And he's thrown into jail. And they've decided that he's Chayav Misa, decided he deserves a death penalty. Comes along his student, Rabbi Shimon Yochai. Shimon Yochai says, Rabbi, I'm not Miyayesh. I don't give up hope. Look what I told the Chachamim in Yavne. He comes to the Roman jail to visit his Rebbe. And he says to his Rebbe, Rebbe, teach me Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm afraid to teach you Torah. If I teach you Torah, they're going to put you to death too. And you represent the continuity of the Torah. So what is the Shimon Yochai response? What's his response to his Rebbe? Ani omer li Yochai Abba. I'm going to tell Yochai, my father. And he's going to give you to the Malchus. He's going to give you to the government. What's Yochai? Yochai represents the Sofei Tevos, the end of the last letters of that pasuk. Kiloti shachami pizaro. Rabbi Shimon is hinting to his Rebbe the words of Hashem to Moshe. The same way Hashem Moshe was concerned about the end of Jewry, the end of the continuity of the Torah. Hashem says to Moshe, don't worry, the Torah will never be forgotten. Shimon Yochai comforts his Rebbe with the same letters, with the same words. Kilosi shachach mipizaro, don't worry, the Torah will never be forgotten. He says, please teach me Torah. And even God forbid something should happen to me, don't worry. I'm sorry, he says, teach me Torah. And if you don't, then you have to answer to God. You have to answer to Malchus. Who's Malchus? Hashem. Hashem is the Melech, Malchei HaMelechim. You're going to have to answer to Hashem. This Mida, this character trait, this aspect of their personality, that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon were hopeful. And they did not bow to the moment. They did not despair. They are the dugma, they are the sample, the example, the role models for us. That no matter what's going on in history, we should know that we play a role in the Masorah, we play a role in the tradition. We teach it to the next generation. And we know not to be consumed by worry and concern that the Torah will be forgotten because of the difficulties. No, ki lo si shachach mi pizaro. Are you familiar with the story? Pesach Kohn shares the story of there was I forget who it was. If you watched the Siyum HaShas this year, the 14th International Siyum HaShas, what was it that they asked for in the, one of the DP camps? What was it that the rabbis asked for? Does anybody remember? No? They printed a Shas. They printed a Shas in the DP camps. And there are very few versions of that still around. They're worth a lot of money. Our fellow Westwoodite, Shaul Seidlerfeller, who works for, I think, Sotheby's auction home, he's seen copies of it. They auctioned off copies of it. And they printed a copy of it. And they ask, why did you print it? Like, there's so much to ask for. You're in a DP camp. Like, why are you asking the general who's in charge of the whole area for a Gemara? He says, because this represents the continuity of the Jewish people. It's the Torah. It's our connection to Torah. It represents the continuity of the Jewish people. Lag BaOmer, the day that Shimon Yochai died. As I mentioned before, there's a legend. I don't know what the source for it is, that the day was a longer day than usual so that Shimon Yochai can finish teaching his students. So Shimon Yochai can make sure that the Mesorah is given over to his students, to his Talmidim. So that the Mesorah can continue. This Midah of not giving up hope, of being hopeful, is perhaps the Midah, the character trait that we need to work on and develop within ourselves. As I mentioned last week, Dr. Fox pointed out that being hopeful is what's called a Koach HaNefesh. You know how we daven for Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf? What does that mean, Refuat HaNefesh, Refuat HaGuf? Refuat HaGuf is that the body should be healed. Refuat HaNefesh is that the psyche, the mind, the neshama, the soul should be healed. God forbid a person should be depressed. A person should feel hopeless. Yush is to feel despair, is to feel hopeless. That's a koach hanefesh. The flip side of that coin is to be hopeful, is to hope to Hashem. Being hopeful is not the same as being in denial. It's not the same as being optimistic. But rather, hopefulness is a koach hanefesh. It's a strength of our soul. When you tap into hope, it's an energy of soul itself. And as I mentioned last week, when Yaakov gave a bracha, what did he say? L'shuascha kivinu Hashem. The Medrash says, Hakol b'kivoy. Everything comes about through hope. We get through difficulty through being hopeful. We get to Yeshua, to salvation, to slicha, to forgiveness. We attain chanina, graciousness, grace from Hashem. And the catalyst for activating these midos of Hashem, in fact, is being hopeful. And what does being hopeful look like? Trusting there'll be better times. The news today is not so encouraging. 3 more months of stay at home. Okay. So as many people are saying, that's our reality. Let's deal with it. And that's what we've been talking about on Tuesday nights. It's our reality. Let's figure it out. Let's make it work. And making sure that we make something of ourselves during this time. Wholesome images of what would happen when this is all done. How we've all grown because of all this. How we don't go back to, can't wait for things to go back to normal. No, there's going to be a new normal. And when we feel hope, we calm down. Our heart rate settles. Our breathing rate slows down. And we begin to take on an internal glow. And having that state of mind, that state of heart, that state of spirituality, we become people that people want to be around. You know, so that, because people in our family that are models for what it's like and what it's supposed to be like. And this is something for us to practice, for ourselves, for our children. So it's our bitachon, it's our hopefulness, which of course needs more elaboration. But it's the opposite of letting your mind run into what ifs or the cynicism or worrying about things getting worse. But rather, it's moving in an adaptive way to a positive place. And I think, if I may suggest, that this was the midah of Rabbi Akiva. This is the midah of Shimon Bar Yochai. That come what may, no matter what was going on, they were hopeful. And that hope was something that was a catalyst for Klal Yisrael's continuity. And hope we should learn from their example. And to me, that's the lesson of Lag BaOmer. It's not dancing around a bonfire. It's not roasting marshmallows. It's not eating s'mores. That's not the lesson of Lag BaOmer. It might be nice customs, and it's a way to connect somehow or another. I have no idea how that and why people do these things. It's not, today we had 3 music trucks go by. It was very thoughtful, very nice people to organize it. Chabad was very involved in it. Beautiful. There was an airplane. Did you see the airplane? That happy Lag BaOmer that had carried one of those trailing banners. Very sweet, very nice from Yavne. Jiji Dichman is a tremendous koach. I think he was behind it. Very nice. But what's Lag BaOmer really about? It's about being hopeful. It's about being mesameach. And this is why. Why do we celebrate someone's death? It's Hilula of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. I mean, if anything, we should cry. Well, why do we dance at his grave? I mean, think about it. It's one of the more bizarre practices in the Jewish community, to dance at the grave of somebody on their yahrzeit. We should cry at their grave on the yahrzeit. I don't know about you, but like when we go to the graves of our relatives on the day of their passing, the anniversary, we don't know dancing at their graves. Because what does Reb Shimon Bar Yochai represent? It's that hope, and it's that connection to each other and to Hashem. We should all, Bezat Hashem, learn from this. And I hope that even though it's a different style shir that we've had on Tuesday nights, I hope you enjoyed it. And I wish you all a wonderful evening. Happy to unmute you if anybody has any questions or comments. Now would be the time. Myrna, if you could stand for a moment afterwards, I should share something with you. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. Yashar Koach.